Welcome back. This is the Sample Access Podcast, and this is the voice of Nelson. We talk about music, and we talk about how they have been sampled, the years. Give a brief history of all those songs before we play them to you. And yes, you know, I do not do this alone.
We're guys here on the Sample Access Podcast, as always, of course, episode number 6. We're glad to bring you this amazing content. We want you to share, to enjoy, not just enjoy the podcast, and also share within your circle. We are always happy to, you know, put this out, to bring you this content. Explore music, just see how things connect from time to time. Pop music, reggae, hip-hop, whatever genre, we want to find out how they connect, who samples what, what is being sampled, what elements and all that. So all those details is what the Sample Access Podcast is about. It sounds mathematical, maybe it is, but not really. But we do a lot of numbers, go back into the 80s, into the 70s, and then compare it to, you know, decades later.
Recent times. They have changed the ideology that has changed.
And of course,
approach to music.
The way sound has changed as well. Maybe sometime we might try to explore how technology has changed. The microphones that were around at that time, the mixers,
the raw sound. I miss the raw sound.
Production equipment and all that.
The vinyl records.
Now it's so easy. I mean, anybody can record from. And that relates to podcast culture as well. The fact that podcasts have become a thing globally is that everyone has access to, you know, a recording equipment, which was never really like that at some point. But technology has made a lot of things so easy, so we can have more voices, we can have, you know, more content out there. And it's just amazing, and it's interesting where all this is going. We're here for all of that and more.
So we have a great lineup for you today, but we're going to go into it immediately because there's no time, basically. The first person we're going to, the first group we're going to be talking about, two groups, in fact. I just noticed now there are two groups. We have, I didn't see there were groups before. It's just kind of like dawning on me now, because I used to take P Square as one.
Because they're brothers.
I think P Square is one, although, even though they're
brothers. Did they really or ever identified as a, okay, they call them duo.
You call them P Square duo, the duo.
But is it a group officially?
We can't call them a group.
They are an artist. Like a collective now. Something like that.
It makes sense. I think that's why I was looking at it like an artist to a group. Because I realized that, okay, the Fugees that we have, that they sampled, is a group, you know, confirmed group. Two Haitians, one American. We're getting into it immediately. P Square, I'm talking about Busybody. That was a big jam.
Very big jam.
We should talk about how big P Square were as at that time. 2005, amazing time for Nigerian music. It felt like the Nigerian sound was actually coming to its own. You know, we're beginning to accept ourselves and
Not really. This was 05,
Yeah, 05.
I think that was the beginning of acceptance. And it wasn't full. It wasn't really fully Nigerian, unlike what we have now.
You
can see that a lot of P Square music, I mean, we reviewed Maintain here, where they, they tried to...
2004, 2003. The only song I can think about right now that probably was very big and was completely original that I can think about from the top of my head right now is African Queen.
Which is,
that was very big. I don't mean like big in the logo and stuff.
Which was big at that time. I was trying to draw something at Maintain. They did a song, Area Code, Ludacris.
Catch Code.
We're talking Premier Gao. The example that they did Allah. And then pushing all of that, even the Plantation Boys, when they started, all of that R&B type music they were doing came from, of course,
it was feeding off Western energy,
American music.
Feeding off the vibes of other people.
So 2005, at this time, we can now see P Square rapping Pidgin. You can say they were dancing sort of like Usher, and they were singing, of course, R&B type. You can tell there were elements of Brandy, Joe, all of those R&B,
and it was really cool
because so they made it, it's like demystifying this hardcore American music
and then bringing out Nigerian elements into it,
you know, making it relatable for all the boys in the Lungu, everybody in the area. So at the same time, hip hop guys were trying to mimic them. 50 Cent, they were trying to do So everybody was feeding off of that energy until we were able to, you know, define Nigerian music,
which is what we have now, which I'm really proud of Afrobeat, you know, moving forward. But we can't talk about Afrobeat right now. Today we are talking about mostly P Square and the Fugees.
And the Fugees, yeah.
Thinking about, like, you know, the Fugees, Ready or Not, that coming from their album The Score, that was a major hit for them. You know, having about four singles of that album, No Woman, No Cry, which they did an entire cover of, Ready or Not, which was a big song, and then Killing Them Softly, which was another song that was redone but approached differently. But we don't want to get into
now, speaking of the Fugees, yeah. Because when people, I know someone who has listened to the podcast and reached out to me and said he likes the way we're exposing artists. I'm like, no, this is not, we're not exposing. Because, like we always say, sample is not a bad
thing. It's not a bad word at all.
So when we say P Square sampled, Maintain sampled, these guys were trying to sound like these guys, maybe we can say we did not popularize African music at that time amongst contemporary Nigerians. How do I mean? Younger Nigerians were more in tune with American music.
Yeah, we were listening to the Nelly, the Jaru.
Yeah, maybe we can try to fault
Fat Joe
that idea, or we can try to, you know, correct. We can say that that wasn't good enough because we should have been more appreciative of our own stuff. Not like there were no African music. There was African music.
Yeah.
There was juju music popping. There was whatever.
Fuji.
There was Fuji music.
Was big
always big at this time.
Basuma
came out 93.
Yeah.
All of the Fuji men, all of them
solid.
Were doing stuff.
Yeah,
so
solid,
there was
stuff.
The demography who messed with that sound.
Yeah.
Younger folks were always looking to the 50 Cents, to the Fat Joe, to the Jaru. You were not cool if you were not in that,
like them.
Yeah,
or
so
you sounded like them.
My point is, we're not trying to bring down anybody, or we're not trying to shade artists who were sampling. Nigerians were sampling Americans, even young Americans at the time. Nelly, Kelly Rowland, all of those ladies and gentlemen were sampling their grandfathers.
Yeah, the older guys.
They were sampling. So look at the Fugees, the album we're about to talk about. You mentioned Killing Me Softly.
Yeah, Killing Me Softly was sampled.
No Woman, No Cry, which
a
were
a complete cover of
direct
Bob Marley.
Cover of Bob Marley's song. So
Marley and the
they too were sampling. Like we always say, sampling is not a bad
thing. It's not a bad word. It's not a bad word. Thinking about it now, you know, Ready or Not was one of those big, big songs that time that just blew up on its own. You know when a song, you know there are some songs that you have that they just, they become a theme on their own.
Yeah.
Like, there's no, they don't need to push them. It's, for example, like Shaggy, It Wasn't Me.
Yeah.
And thinking about the story of Shaggy, It Wasn't Me. It wasn't even supposed to be a big song.
Yeah.
It wasn't even supposed to make the album. And that's another story from
that
time.
It was a special song.
But it was a special song. So the song took on its life on its own, you know.
Yeah.
It just became big. That's what Ready or Not had.
Yeah.
Coming up at that time.
I really don't know what the vibe was at the time, but you can tell there's something cool about this song.
Yeah.
And I know they were telling a story in that song.
Yeah.
There was something, you know, that
now
was
that
attached
I escaped,
to.
Slipped, walked away.
Yeah.
No, Wyclef was.
I don't know how big Wyclef was at the time, but there was something special to Ready or Not, the song. Before we get into Ready or Not, the song, that album, what state or what position was Lauryn Hill, Wyclef, and the other guy? What was their status in music?
Praz Michael.
Yeah. What was their status in music around 95 when they dropped that album?
So thinking about the Fugees came out in 92, but their first solid stuff was the Score album. They released the record in 94, I think. That's a year before. So but they dropped it out, and of course they had like recognition. People already knew them. But the thing about the Fugees that was really, really cool as at that time, I remember a song now. One song just popped into my head. Ooh la la la. I don't know whether I remember that song. Yeah, it was.
I just know who sampled it.
Yeah, it was a big. It was a big song on this particular album, The Score.
Do you know who sampled that song in this generation?
I probably would.
That's Trey Song. Put your body.
Yeah. That's the Lauryn Hill's song. That's a part in that song from the Fugees. And the Fugees then, you know, it was irregular for you to have two guys and a girl. And the girl is kind of like taking the lead, because most of its songs, Lauryn Hill would always take the lead.
And she was mainly hip-hop.
She was mainly hip-hop, and she could sing so well. So it was just great merging. They had Praz. Praz would just, you know, wasn't most of the time part of the song. Maybe did a lot of background stuff or rap a little bit once or twice. You get, he wasn't a solid member of the group. Big respect to him, though. Without him, that group would have not been, you know, together. Or it was like the what's the link that
the, like, that the big bammer of maintain.
Exactly. So there was the, you can't like underestimate his work or his capacity in that group.
Mm.
And then thinking about, you know, Lauryn Hill, Lauryn Hill was the big girl. Everybody I knew.
This was 1 year before the Miseducation of Lauryn Hill.
Yeah, that's 96.
Yeah.
So before that time, Lauryn Hill was big because Lauryn Hill did Do Whoop that actually made the Miseducation of Lauryn Hill a year before.
Whoa.
That was 94. And that song made album in 96, which is a normal thing. People still do that today.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That song was so big. The song won an R&B Grammy Award for Best R&B Song and Best R&B Performance. Two Grammys.
Do Whoop was a really big song. I mean, I really like the chorus.
Girl, yes. You know you better. You know she switched the chorus twice. It was an amazing song. Yeah, she was talking about the guys. Verses, talked about the girls.
The two verses. The first verse was for the
guys. The second one was for the girls.
No, I mean, this one. Now I can say truly that song definitely deserved the Grammy because even up to today, when you listen, you're like, yo,
yeah,
sounds fresh.
Yes, it's
and the flow on that song for a rapper
and a female rapper at that time
is up there.
Yeah.
Speaking of which, Rolling Stone dropped something last week.
Yeah, the best. Oh yeah, I just remember that's something that was really cool. Top 5 albums. Rap albums of all time,
which of course a lot of people would not agree.
But why would they
put
five.
Why would they put Lauryn Hill as number one album, greatest rap album of all time? Is that not a disrespect to a lot of people
on that Rolling Stones list? There's no list that's going to be ever accurate.
Of course,
they had an algorithm that made them pick,
and of course there must be a bias.
Yeah, of course they there was an algorithm they went through that made them pick that list. But thinking about it, that album
had a lot of R&B songs.
It was not a complete hip hop album. You know, I used to say it. I'll be like, yo, this is not a complete hip hop album. But because Lauryn Hill was at that time, you know, she identified herself
as a rapper,
hip hop artist. That album was solid. That album broke. That was an album that broke through every rank. I mean, you had a song that won R&B Grammy in that album. And it's called Top Rap Album.
It was the same year Jay-Z dropped Reasonable Doubt.
It was a major, not just Jay-Z. That year,
I'm not sure, but I think she probably did better than Jay-Z in numbers.
Yeah, she bodied a lot of artists that year. No, it was
being a woman.
It was a thing at that time because people were like, who is this chick? Like, who is she? Like, she just came and just bodied everybody. And that was the present she had. She was still with the Fugees, but, you know, she had that majestic, you know, vibe that people could not actually get to.
Something like Tenny did last year. Let's get to P-Square.
Yeah, P-Square.
10 years later, 2005.
Yes.
P-Square would do a cover of Ready or Not.
Yes.
By the Fugees.
And they took Lauryn Hill's.
How well did
Hill's
they do it?
Part. The thing is, you know, I love P-Square. That album, first of all, that album is a lot to me because I'm not the biggest P-Square fan, but that album actually is a big album for me.
Mm.
I don't know. Game Over was there.
It was big everywhere. Well, it was big everywhere.
But Get Squared, the album for me as a guy, like growing up, I think about that album is one of those albums that actually hit me. The first time I heard Story, I was in my cousin's room in Yaba Tekas at that time. I'm talking about 06. I was in my cousin's room. He got the album. He had the album before, but that night he played that song and I heard the entire album. The album was like 13 songs, about 4 instrumentals. I'm talking straight from my head right now. I'm not even looking at it, so I'm just telling you how it is.
I'm talking Get Squared album.
Yeah, it's Get Squared album. I think 13 songs. Like, I remember Story. I remember Get Squared. I remember Say Your Love. Those songs hit.
Yeah.
Like, they got me. Like, even Busy Body was
They were separate hits. Not like one helped the other.
Yeah, no. The thing is,
all the songs, Ali, we can identify five. At least we can identify five hit songs.
Yeah, and the way it is, even Busy Body that we're five talking about today, that they sampled Ready or Not, a verse from Ready or Not form. I didn't even at that time. I mean, you can beat me up, but I didn't like it like that. It's the truth. The first Story, I remember that night I heard Story like 3 or 4 times because it was amazing. I'd never, same thing the Fugees had, P-Square had at that point. Fugees came in as a rap group, but they didn't sound like NWA, they didn't sound like Run DMC, they didn't sound like Public Enemy, they sounded like Fugees. When you think about Fugees, you think about only Fugees.
Yeah.
Fugees is not one of those groups that you can't say. I mean, when you think about Public Enemy, you want to put people like NWA, they like Run DMC. Those guys would, you say, okay, maybe Wu-Tang Clan. Those guys are like in a niche a niche of rap. But Fugees, nah.
The sound was different.
I mean, Fugees were doing slow rap.
Was that the beginning of appreciating being a singer and a rapper together?
No. That already happened since 88 now. From 88, 89, when we had New Jack Swing, when New Jack Swing came up, people liked New Jack Swing as a genre. It came up, that was done by Teddy Riley, Babyface.
Oh, okay.
For people that don't understand New Jack Swing, what Black Street did with No Diggity, No Doubt, Shawty get down, good lord. You know, I'm like, I like the way you work. There's a song by, you know, Dr. Dre. You know, it was really cool. That's those guys already started accepting sounds like that. But the thing is, people like Fugees, they brought it. It was weird.
You need to have
another artist be featured.
Yeah, I wanted to be clear about the timeline of when rapping and singing became a thing, and if we have really bastardized that concept now. You're saying now that New Jack Swing
preferred the idea of you could actually rap and sing on a record
as a person, the same person.
Yeah, you could be the same. No, it wasn't as at that time.
This is what I'm saying. Yeah. The same person, because I never hear Jay-Z try
No. Obviously, that's what you would get.
At what point did it become normal?
It would be a featured song
for people like Jada Kiss, or of course Jada Kiss has.
The 2000s were a different level.
Yeah. Let's
put that out.
Yeah, let's try and state the timeline.
Okay.
When did it become cool
to do that,
for you to sing and rap
completely cool,
yeah,
like acceptable,
yeah,
was, I think it should be the early 2000s.
This wasn't Eminem, of
I'm
course.
Talking about
Eminem. Yeah, never had his own.
No, I'm talking about the Nellies, the Jarus. Jaru did a lot of R&B and rap songs, she gets in, yeah, the same record.
Yeah,
Jaru, Fat Joe, Nelly, you know, people like 50 Cent wanted to do all those kind of stuff, but they never, he still had that, you know, hardcore element, you know, all those kind of sounds that were not completely R&B and rap.
Yeah, we'll get back to this, because it looks like, you know, a tricky topic.
Yeah.
Being a rapper and a singer,
yeah,
because when people talk now, they say it's we're in 2020.
You can do anything.
Rappers can sing, and like Lauryn Hill, Drizzy Drake, of course, you can have double album.
Yeah.
One fully R&B, one fully hip hop.
Like, yeah.
But a lot of people still complain that
it's not real hip hop.
Yeah, Jay-Z said on this song, Death of Auto-Tune, get back to rap, you T-Paining too much, which is like you're singing too
you're
much.
Singing that, too
that's
much.
T-Pain with the Auto-Tune.
Yeah.
Let's get back to P-Square. P-Square sampled Ready or Not. In what ways exactly? It was just one hook?
Hook. Yeah, it was the bridge of Ready or Not. And that Lauryn Hill took in Ready or Not. And YG did a wonderful job. The reason why I say YG did a wonderful job is that I don't think I would have heard that Lauryn Hill's part differently. I don't think that somebody would have done it differently and have made me think it was really cool. As at that point, I knew Ready or Not, because Ready or Not was one of the very first songs I knew.
Off the top.
Because those, you know, the beginning parts. Ready or Not.
Here I come.
You can't hide. You know, that stuff alone was already a scene. I knew Lauryn Hill, so I already knew. But like when I heard Busybody, the first time I heard Busybody, I didn't even think about the sampling. I had to like, wait. I think I've heard this sound before.
I may have heard this song before.
What's going on? And don't forget, I knew the Ready or Not from the top of my head. So that's why I said she did a really good job.
Yeah.
Because it was the same line, but she took it her
differently.
Own way.
And she owned it. One of the brothers too took, they did like a duet thing.
Yeah. That was,
took,
I think, Paul.
Two lines and then.
Yeah, just took two lines and then worked it out with hers. And she did really good.
What genre switched places?
Hip-hop rap to what we like to call Nigerian music.
There was
music,
no
right?
definition.
No
at
definition.
That time.
That's why I said Nigerian.
So
Nigerian
music.
Nigerian music. Nigerian vibes.
But there was kicks. There was a lot of, you know. The closest we can call it is.
I'm even scared to call it pop. But what would we say?
But it was pop anyway.
What was the? Yeah, that's the only thing you still.
Yeah,
followed.
It was pop. It was Nigerian.
Nigerian
pop.
Because I have to say this. Big respect to P Square. Biscuit held it down for years. I know a lot of us have stories. I wish I could have a particular story for every of the song on that particular guest. That time the vibe there was strong. You know, you were completely attached to these guys.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm messing with this sound because I really loved it. And Two Face too, at that point too, was really big too.
It was very influential. I think it was around the same time the album Grass to Grace.
Yeah. So
that
at that
was
time,
2007.
So lastly, later. But I'm talking about like that time. You still
face
have to
face album.
Yeah, face to face.
Expressions album by Star Plus. Also popping.
Yeah, Star Plus
there
too.
There was Olufunmi. There was Call My Name. There was 2x1, 2 Run Away.
Yeah.
So around that 2005, 2006.
And that was the video era too, you know. Thinking about it, that was the time where you had to make, if you were big, you had to make a song and make a video, because if you didn't make a video, people were not going to actually vibe with it. We had Music Africa at that point. Music Africa would play all the videos.
It was monster music.
It was a big thing that time, But this song, Busybody, amazing song, really good body of work from them. That's the Get Squared album. They had a lot of four instrumentals, 13 songs, 9 songs, 4 instrumentals. And now that was the usual thing for P-Squared. They used to always like
drop their instrumentals.
Maybe one or two. Yeah. You know, to like people
just, you to
I remember one. It don't happen.
You
hey, it don't happen. That was a good one too.
The title is It Don't Happen, yeah?
Yeah, It Don't Happen, yeah.
Oga Police. We didn't, but speaking of Oga Police and all of the, we mentioned 6 hits or 5 hits.
Yeah.
Can we identify 5 hits off of that album? Solid hits.
They had talk about stories. Solid hits.
Okay, maybe not solid hits, but
solid
songs
hits be
that had
Get Squared,
a movement on their own. Get Squared
and Busybody.
Because whenever we were
2 solid hits for me.
Solid hits
that were everywhere.
But the extras or the other 4 that we can say would make the top 6 on the
say
album.
Say Your Love.
Really?
Say Your Love, no, that song is a classic. The people still listen to that
song.
Yeah. What I would say is it got a cult following afterwards.
Yeah. And I like Oga Police.
Story, Oga Police. Yeah, that was a hit, but I'm talking about hits that were everywhere in every corner.
Yeah.
So that's why I say those 2 hits with those 2 songs.
Temptation
2.
Maybe not so big, but.
But it was there.
I'm not trying to classify hits now, but I'm trying to classify songs and how they had their different essence.
Yeah, vibes. Like
yeah,
you would,
different vibes.
You would want to pick a song.
Story,
a song
for
instance, everybody.
Story, like.
Story.
Cool. Like,
no, I don't.
And it was heartfelt for them. They were telling their story.
Yeah, it was amazing.
Let's play the 2 songs. We play Fugees first. Fugees is a group of Wyclef Jean, Lauryn Hill, and Praz Michael.
Or Praz Michelle, any which ways.
We play that and then we play you Busybody on the Sample Access podcast. Of course, we are back to review another sample set.
Ready or not, here I come. You can't hide. Gonna find you and take it slowly. Ready or not, here I come. You can't hide. Gonna find you. Make you want me.
Now that I escape, sleep, walk, awake.
Yeah.
Those who correlate know the world ain't cake. Jail bars ain't golden gates. Those who fake, they break. When they meet their 400-pound mate, if I could rule the world, everyone would have a gun in the ghetto, of course. When you D up and on their horse. Kick around, drinking moonshine. I pour a sip on the concrete for the deceased, but no, don't weep. Why Clef's in a state of sleep, thinking about the robbery that I did last week. Money in the bag, banker look like a drag. I wanna play with pelicans from here to Baghdad. Gun blast, think fast, I think I'm hit. My girl pinched my hips to see if I still exist. I think not, I'll send a letter to my friends. A born again hooligan, only to be king again.
Ready or not, here I come, you can't hide. Gonna find you and take it slowly. Ready or not, here I come. I play my enemies like a game of chess where I rest. No stress if you don't smoke cess. Less, I must confess, my destiny's manifest. There's some vortex and sweats. So I make tracks like I'm homeless. Rap orgies with Borgy and Bess. Capture your bounty like Elliot Ness. Yes, bless you if you represent the fool. But I hex you with some witch's brew if you do. Do voodoo, I could do what you do. Easy. Believe me, frontin' niggas give me heebie-jeebies. So while you imitating Al Capone, I be needing Simone and defecating on your microphone. Ready or not, here I come. You can't hide. Gonna find you. And take it slowly. You can't run away from these styles I got. Oh baby, hey baby, cause I got a lot. Oh yeah. And anywhere you go, my whole crew gonna know. Oh baby, hey baby, you can't hide from the bag. Oh no.
Ready or not, refugee taking over. The Buffalo Soldier.
P-Squared. Whoa. CC. Whoa. We run things. Whoa. Things that are we. Whoa. Hook up in the club. Whoa. Give them a run. Whoa. Give them a jump. Whoa. With your busy body. Yeah. With your busy body. Yeah. Oh, oh, oh.
looking like an angel light. She come in and me mind like a dynamite. She flash like a lighter in any candlelight. And then she say,
all this to me.
Yeah, you know, so when you move your body, hold them tight. Make it no try to hurt nobody, make it a watch your sight. I make it pick up, pick up, among you no be fight. And then she say,
all this to me.
Boy, you know, say if I give you body,
body,
you go searching,
searching.
You no go fit, run the MIC. Cause you go lose control.
With your busy body,
body,
you go searching,
searching.
I go to steal, but the MIC. I no go lose control.
Boy, you go lose control.
Girl, I no go lose control.
Boy, you go lose control.
If I catch you,
oh,
I go turn you on.
When I grab you, you go break it down.
You go lose control. Busy body,
oh.
If I catch you,
I go turn you on.
When I grab you, you go break it down.
You go lose control.
Busy body, cause if I catch you, I go take you slowly.
You can run away, I will do my way, oh baby. Ooh baby, I go take all my clothes and get ready for you. Anywhere you go, I will be right there, oh baby. Baby, I go take my time, get down for you.
I love the way you move your bum bum, you make me really wanna touch your way. Bye bye, bye bye, bye bye, bye bye, bye bye, bye bye, bye. Oh love,
boy, you know say if I give you body,
body,
you go searching,
searching.
You no go fit, run the MIC, cause you go lose control. Hey,
oh, your busy body,
body,
you go searching,
searching.
I go to steal, run the MIC, I no go lose control.
Boy, you go lose control.
I'm gonna go lose
control.
If I catch you,
I'm gonna turn you on.
When I grab you, you're gonna break it down.
You're gonna lose control.
Busy body,
If I catch you,
I'm gonna turn you on.
When I grab you,
all right, you just listened to Fuji's Ready or Not and P-Square's featuring Waje. Yes, we put the featuring Waje ourselves because she was the one that we actually talked about.
It's not official.
All right. Okay, so moving on. We're talking about, before we get into the other song, let's just quickly talk about something.
Briefly.
So I've been thinking now, you know, the evolution of sampling has been amazing. But looking at it, even in this current time, we have a lot of people sampling from different genres. You know, it's not just one genre anymore. We used to be hip-hop majorly, but now we have pop, and pop are really giving hip-hop a run for their money. So I'd like to, you know, what do you think on your own part? What do you think? Who do you think is sampling or sampling? Not just sampling now, because anybody can sample. Who do you think samples better, pop or hip-hop artists?
Well, I'm more familiar with hip-hop, and it's normal that I'm biased towards hip-hop.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
So when you listen to the way hip-hop artists sample, I think it's more creative. I might not be able to answer the question directly.
That's very harsh, yo.
Hip-hop is more creative, obviously. I mean, when you pick...
This is your bias. Your bias is flying everywhere on this one. No.
Look at it. I really can't put my hands on direct examples now, but we reviewed Mode 9 sampling Barista. Those are very far apart.
Yeah, Fuji
one
to
pop
hip-hop
song that comes to my mind, I think, is there's an EDM producer featuring Ava Max, Let It Be Me. I can't recall the name of the EDM producer now, but when they take a flow, they take it directly. It's easy to sample in pop. You just there's not much difference to be done. But in hip-hop, especially 10-20 years ago, there was a way you flipped the song that you want to sample, you flip it in an entirely different way. It's way more creative, and then you slam, you know, a different beat on that sample, and then, you know, it makes sense. Mode 9 did that a lot with there are some songs that he sampled, Niggas in Paris. There is one part I really can't recall, but look at Nas and Jay-Z, Dead Presidents. Now Jay-Z sampling Nas, The World Is Yours, he flipped it in a different way that you will loop, I don't know now, you loop the old one in the background and you rap on top of it. That's more creative to me. So I feel pop musicians a lot of time lift, you know, already made, and then the flow sampling is more common in pop than in hip hop. Hip hop is, they just use a part of it and they rap all over. So they do a lot more creative work is done in hip hop as far as sampling is concerned than in pop music.
But I'd like to give props and you know, the correct dues to people who actually try to sample in pop. Pop is quite difficult. There's not so much you get exposed easily. It's not like hip hop where you just, you know, you're still going to see a couple of rhymes and people will still think, oh, this is fresh, even though you stole some parts from somewhere. Or yes, I think hip hop is very, like, the idea of sampling in hip hop is so creative. You would hear sounds that you'd have to, I don't know, do proper research to actually see where those sounds come from. But the pop guys, I kind of like some of their pop songs, you know. For example, that I got a feeling that I never. Now, people don't know it was Etta James' song. Look at Dilemma 2 that we did the last episode, too. That was properly done, you know, one way or the other. Like, I feel like the pop guys, they probably are not doing as much work. That's the only thing that's the only problem.
That's
for example, you were saying pop Umbrella Now by
Rihanna.
Umbrella Banky by Rihanna, Banky W doing the Metal. Yeah, so that kind
of
like
pop songs. They lift a lot of the time. They just take it and then they redo it.
Don't let us be harsh and call them
lifting. Not really harsh. Not really harsh, but I'm saying it's much easier.
Yeah.
Look at Mark Mario.
Yeah.
It's the same for pop music. P-Square on Ejiajo.
Yeah.
They take it almost directly. The same.
Yeah.
Almost the same words.
Yeah.
But in hip-hop, you almost don't repeat.
Yeah, you have to try.
If you repeat it, you just take two lines and then you put your own new line into it. So
that's the thing.
It's very, very, like, I think it takes a lot more work to sample in hip-hop. A lot more creative work. You have to put your own verse into
it.
True. I mean, we can all agree, you mentioned the Gucci Mane, the flow, the entire flow from A to Z.
Yeah,
we'll get to that on another episode.
Yeah, but I love that part. So I think that's 2-0 for hip-hop, to hip-hop winning massively on this one. All right, so on to the next song right now. The next song that we have that we're going to be talking about, this is one I really like. This is Show Them Camps in Case featuring Wani, and sampling Two Shorts featuring Timaya's In Case You Never Know.
Let's first define the two genres. I think they're similar in a way.
Nah.
They're similar, but they're different, but
the vibe is completely
different. The vibe is different.
I like to call any song from the Palm Wine series. I'm a big SDC fan.
Yeah.
Started listening to them for about 7 years now.
Yeah.
My first song I listened to them was Feel Alright, produced by Jules.
Yeah, that was everybody's first song.
That's not everybody though. People already started listening to records before then. I don't like to call myself part of
them. That was the biggest song that broke out.
So because listening to Feel Alright, I knew it was something different. When I heard Boy's voice, I just knew, this is going to be madness. And then I stuck with them. I've listened to all their projects from that time.
Have their sound really changed from then?
Their sound is improving every year.
Yeah.
When you think about it, like, I don't know, I feel like they don't give enough props to Show Them Camp. Show Them Camp are literally like the unsung heroes of Nigeria. Those guys.
Nigerian hip hop.
Hip hop, yes. Because look at them. Show Them Camp are the only people that they would flex with two genres and they flex very well.
Yeah.
I remember one song you did one time, DJ Yin.
They're not the only ones.
Rewind, though. They're not the only ones though, like Boogie.
But they have done it on a very elite level.
And they have really tried, you know.
Clone Wars.
Higher Echelon.
Yeah.
Higher Echelon, man. Those guys are another level.
We were talking about genres.
Yeah.
Is it similar at all?
You know, this one now, since like 2015, 2016, they decided to start calling this particular genre from Palm Wine Music 1, Volume 1, the genre has to be like Palm Wine Music.
But it's related
to subgenre of Afrobeats plus hip hop. But if you're talking about Two Shorts, Timaya.
Hold on a second. Look at this equation. Afrobeats plus hip hop, does it equate to Afropop? No.
No, it doesn't.
Afropop is a different
thing. Yeah, Afropop is a different thing. It's a different vibe.
What's the relationship between Afrobeat and Afropop?
Afrobeat is like, you know, Fela Nicola Pukuti.
Oh, hold on.
Afrobeat.
Afrobeat without the S. Afrobeat with the S.
Okay, S is Afrobeat is what we have
let's
now.
Let's forget Fela's Afrobeat for now. Afrobeat with the S as defined by Whiskey Dayo Balogun.
Yeah.
Who is the leader of the
movement? Let's push it. The movement.
What we know about as Afrobeats now with the S
yeah.
and what we call Afropop now.
This is
Adekunle dropped a project, called it Afropop One, yeah?
Yeah.
And we can say that a song like Mark Barrio,
yeah, Afropop.
Afropop too.
Yeah.
Where do they mix?
When there's
By the way, these are opinions.
Yeah,
We don't know the definition of these genres,
exactly.
But we just try to make
use
sense
our
of it.
You know, initiative and work something out. I think for Afrobeats, there's more of the, whether we like it or not, we have to talk Fela. There's more of the Fela vibes in it.
Mm.
Like, I would call Ye.
Yeah.
Ye is turning to what's Afrobeats.
With the S.
With the S. A whole lot, because there's a lot of the vibe of Fela in that song. Which, well, when Wizkid does that too, he
do you know
always
a song
tries to
called Sweet Love by Wizkid?
Yes, yeah.
That is
Afropop.
That's Afrobeats.
Okay.
Produced by SARS. You
okay,
probably
yeah.
don't know the song, Sweet Love.
Sweet Love. I know the song now.
Yeah, that's, I don't know. The way I listen to it, I can hear that Afrobeats is very related to Fela's Afrobeats.
Yes, that should be Afrobeats.
But when you move farther from that Sweet Love sound, Oju Elegba, in a way, now I'm not
Afrobeats,
really sure about
Afrobeats.
This Afrobeat.
The Afrobeat.
Now,
what you now talk about, maybe Bese.
Bese is more pop.
Yeah, more pop.
Now that's what I'm trying to link. Now let's get back to the equation of Afrobeats trying to combine with hip hop. What does it produce? It doesn't produce Afropop directly a lot of times.
No.
But it produces whatever.
Yeah. So that's where we have subgenres, because that's where this guy is falling.
Show them camp
is purely hip hop plus Afrobeat.
Okay.
Or hip hop, Afrobeat, and some
or plus a subgenre of Afrobeat.
Yeah. So it's a subgenre of Afrobeat. So there's a lot of elements.
Yeah.
I think you should get to a point, if Show Them Camp releases another album come very soon and calls it Palm Wine Express 2.
I think they said the Palm Wine series is done. They mentioned something like that.
Yeah. But if they would drop another one, because I feel like it's a subgenre on its own. You can't touch it. It's just there.
Mm.
You know, thinking about Feel Alright. Feel Alright links all the way down to the Palm Wine music.
Yeah.
When you listen to Feel Alright, you're not. I mean, there's rap, which is hip hop.
Yeah.
And there's cool vibes, yeah, which is Afro pop. And then there's this beat that is inexplicable. You can't really explain,
yeah,
what it makes you feel, but you just feel calm, cool, collected at the same time.
Now, the Clone Wars series from 1 to 4, I have only been conversant with Clone Wars 3 and 4.
Yeah, 3 and 4 are the ones I'm conversant with.
Which too. Is, I think they called one The Recession.
Sean, and the other one is This Buhari Times.
Very well put,
ah,
put
no,
together.
This Buhari Times, no.
And this,
solid work.
Let's just take Clone Wars 4 as, you know, case study in this case.
Mm.
A lot of the songs, almost all the songs, there is no
hip-hop.
Yeah, it's straight rap.
That's
and hip-hop. There is
no
bite
stressing,
or no type, no mixing of Afrobeats in any way.
You know what, I think about it now, and looking at what I said, nobody should tell me anything. That stuff is the best hip-hop album I've had in a while. Purely, when I mean purely hip-hop, I mean purely hip-hop, undiluted.
Well,
thinking about, maybe
I can agree with you, because
maybe MI's
Emma and AQ,
MI's AQ, yes, MI's AQ, and also Young Denzel too.
The same year this album was nominated,
2019, right?
Fouls,
yeah,
on hip-hop.
Moral Instruction. Yes. I don't like to call Fouls Moral Instruction a hip-hop album.
Why?
Because to me, see, this is how it is. 7 over 10 of the song, hip-hop. It qualifies for an hip hop album. 7 over 10.
We're talking about
70%
Moral Instruction.
Moral Instruction, yeah. I'm not saying it's not. No, don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
But I'm just saying hip hop guy.
Yeah. That's not the sound.
Hip hop guy. Come on.
What do
listen
you
to Clone Wars and listen to Moral Instruction. Completely different. In Moral Instruction, I'm sure Fouls would accept this. Fouls was really, it was really everywhere. Hip hop, but it was biting sounds, doing quality stuff.
A lot of Afrobeats
here and there. And so you can't just call it, it wouldn't qualify for, if we are like a hip hop group stuff. They wouldn't want to say, oh yo, AQ's album, AQ's and
God's Engineering
would have gone in.
Yeah.
Obviously.
Yeah.
Would have gone in and done massively well, because that was a pure hip hop album. Yeah. Clone Wars, pure hip hop album, no diluting.
Should we then put Moral Instruction under the same genre as the Palm Wine series?
No.
What's the difference?
Because there's like almost the 70% of hip hop in it. Palm Wine series is a whole new thing.
Fouls was rapping the entire time on Moral Instruction.
Yeah, but like, is that the same way I can't put Palm Wine Express, any of the Palm Wine works out, Primary Projects, I can't put any of them along Cyclone Wars. They are two completely different
sounds. Yeah, I'm saying if we don't agree that Moral Instruction,
but I still feel like we can't still put Moral Instruction in that palm one, right? Because I said something earlier, and this is all me basically. Any other person can have a different idea, but I'm not saying this is me. I'm like saying the Palm Wine Express work, it should be like, if we have something similar, oh yeah, there are a couple of Ghanaian guys. Yeah. Oh, I need to go back and listen to those guys again. I can't remember their name now. They had this album cover that had, it was pink all through.
Are they a group or individuals?
Two guys. Hip-hop Afro group. Something, yeah. The name of their stuff is Afro Something. Afro Something. That's, I can put that to their album in the Palm Wine Express.
Okay.
I'm going to look for that stuff. I'm going to say something about it later on. We're going to tackle all that stuff later on.
We have not demystified this topic properly, but let's just go a little further because of time. Palm Wine series.
Yeah.
Palm Wine
Express being the latest one.
The first one was called
Palm Wine Volume 1.
Palm Wine Music Volume 1.
Yes.
Second one, Palm Wine Music Volume 2.
Third one,
Palm Wine Express. Yes. I'm more conversant with number one, which had,
I have all of them,
Tommy Thomas.
I'm a big fan.
Had Odunsi, had Lady Donnelly. Nah.
No.
Had, I'm trying to remember Thames. One more. Was Thames on that project? I don't think so.
Thames, no.
There was one more person. Budge was on it.
Ajebota 22 was on it.
Independent Ladies, yeah. Popping Again, What You Want. I like that more.
Yeah.
But then you can see that Popping Again is a lot of... Yeah, of course, it's Palm Wine.
Yeah, but Popping Again is more...
That's my best song from the project.
Yeah. Popping Again had that...
Palm Wine Music 2.
Where we had Burna Boy. Yeah, we had
Lady Donnelly.
Lady Donnelly. We had Tommy Thomas again.
Yeah.
We had, in this
Buju.
Case... Buju is on Express. Yes. We had... have we called Burna Boy already?
Yeah.
I think we should call Burna Boy twice. Burna Boy. Who else... It's Stella List, really. They was had there, like Fumbi was in Volume 1 too.
Man, I love that song with Fumbi. Yeah. But what was the
Up to You? That's from Volume 1.
What was the change?
It was
from
obvious.
1 to 2.
It was obvious that there was more understanding of how the sound.
There was Mologo on number 2.
Yeah, there was more. Yeah, Ragabomi. Yeah. That's a big one too. I like that song a lot. Flash as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, Tropicana. So yeah, there's this evolution for the sound. When you heard Palm Wine Music Volume 1, you would still want to, you know, fight with it, like, okay, what kind of sound is this? How does it sound? Why does it sound like this? Do you understand? Then you listen to Palm Wine Music 2 and it's like, okay, this is another vibe entirely.
Yeah.
Like, this is taking, it's an elevation. It's like I was in level 1 before, you took me to level 4. And Palm Wine Express kind of cemented it. Now, from Palm Wine Express, you know what? From like True Story by Burna Boy, whoa! A jam for life.
Yeah.
That's a solid Palm Wine Music vibe, you understand? And it did, the Palm Wine Express album had a whole lot, and that's where this song came in from.
Now the song we're talking about today is coming from Palm Wine Express.
Yeah? Yes, largely produced by Sparks.
Featuring
All
songs produced by Sparks, featuring Wani.
Yeah, Wani in case.
Tell us what part of this song sampled Two Shots.
The chorus.
Yeah.
The chorus itself. And I love one of the things they did there. It was part of the credits, which every other person does. They're like, they got permission from Two Shots, and the legend himself said that, you know, this has to be done. Mm. Like, they should do it and give them permission. So yeah. In Case by featuring Wani, great song, great rap, great lines. I love the chorus as well, and I love what Wani did with the chorus, doing wonderfully well, making the chorus sound a little bit different, not a little bit actually, completely different from what we usually know. And for Two Shots, Timaya, in case you never know, was a really big jam in 2008, doing really, really well. Two Shots, known as William Iroha, and there's one of his songs that I really like, I Am William, which he did with Emma in 2010. The album for which Two Shots featuring Timaya came from, in case you never know, came from Music Business, produced by Terry G. That's one of the reasons why I feel like Terry G is one of those underrated artists, because thinking about Terry G from that 2008, I know 2008 was a time for Terry G to blow up and do stuff. I think that was the era of Free Madness, and Terry G did Music Business for Two Shots, And that was where, in case you never know, did you know it was too short? It was Terry G that...
I really didn't pay attention, but I knew it was a big jam. I was always watching Monster Music, watching Music Africa. Not sure which of them, but it was big on TV at that time.
Yeah, it was big on really big stuff. And you know, for a while, we hadn't heard from Too Short. Because I remember the first song I heard from Too Short was featuring Bigelow. Very delicious, very delicious.
Yeah, I remember they were both featured on Star Plus. What's this song?
Carry I'm Go 2 was a solid jam. I remember Thief, Ole, Carry I'm Go. Yeah. That song,
Make Them Talk featuring Nice.
Yeah, Make Them Talk, yeah. That was solid. Two Shots did his stuff. Now he's in US, before. You know. He's a photographer and filmmaker now in US.
Oh, wow.
Doing big stuff. Yeah, as somebody that loved his music, I'm proud of what he's like, still, you know, in the entertainment business, doing stuff. I hope one time he comes back and gives us, you know, another jam or something.
We're going to play the two songs shortly, but what can we learn from the fact that even within Nigeria's music industry, where we like to say there's no structure, anything goes, Shodem Camp was able to reach out to Too Short or whoever published the album, the music time to get permission.
Yeah, that's,
what does that tell us now?
That tells us that the music business is there's a structure that is coming up. So people are respecting sounds now. It's not like they have not respected it before, but there was no proper structure.
Yeah.
So now you don't want to do stuff like that anymore. Do you get? So you have to ask people and say, okay, you know what? I'm going to use your sound. And when big ups to Timaya too. Big ups to him for taking that chorus. And that was the time Timaya was hitting it. 2008. Thinking about it now, Timaya is still here to today. Big still ups really to the man. 2020.
Plantain Boy.
2020.
But then he's not the only one like that.
Yeah, yeah, but like, you know, thinking about, we don't have a lot of them.
And
they're a handful.
Also to add, his music has changed.
Yeah.
There was a lot of
reinvention.
Well, you like to say reinvention, but there is more vibes now than then.
Then it was
Timaya was the his songs guy. Were full.
Yeah.
Ogologoma.
Yeah.
Plantain Boy.
Yeah. Storyfield.
He told stories. Now
it's vibe.
Pop your bum bum.
Yeah, yeah.
You get what I'm saying?
It's pure vibes now. I think it's just, I think this is one of the things that we have to say. I think Snoop Dogg said it one time. You need to understand that when the music is changing, you have to change with the music first. Then you now see the approach you can use to get in again with your old vibes. Snoop Dogg wouldn't do a nothing but a G thing, baby. He's not going to do that anymore. But sometimes you're going to see him come on some songs. Very few songs are institutionalized.
Yeah.
He did old Snoop Dogg. Do you get? So like in some songs, I feel like I just need Timaya to give me one or two songs of his album. He can do the rest as vibes.
And also
one or two proper songs.
Speaking
fine.
Of evolution and changing sounds, Timaya did a trap song recently featuring Fowls. You need to check it out. It's titled When. You wouldn't believe the flow. You wouldn't believe it was Timaya, the Plantain Boy from Timaya's self-titled album from The Rebirth, who was doing that trap song. This is elite trap. Go and check that out. So that's that about. Let's run the production credits. For all
right.
All
so
songs.
Yeah, the production credits for Fugees and Fugees Ready or Not, produced by Fugees and Jerry Duplessis. For P Square's Do Me was produced by Jay Martins. That's Do Me, the song. For SDC's In Case featuring Wani, we just said Sparks, and on Two Shorts featuring Timaya, In Case You Never Know, 2008 was produced by Terry G.
That's the package on the Sample Access Podcast Episode 6. Thank you for always listening. Please share with your friends and follow us on social media.
Keep me up on social media. My Twitter is at NWAENIE capital N, and on Instagram NWAENIE.Nelson.
We'll see you next time on the Sample Access Podcast. Bye bye.
For my minimum wage. sun I rage. The whole time I love the face. From the weather any day, in the water I wear. I did fly. See all this babe, all of them they wonder. I know they talk too much, I just drive. Quality too spending when I drive by. See all these boys, they do the show. These days, all of them they carry no. Me and no sin. Cause in the end, they go the company, they won't play. I'm so happy. I know they hide anything, I'm so loud. So everybody clear road that they come. Especially with these people where they fall.
Die. Guess you never know. Now we believe them my life. Guess you never know. Oh, Mona, I'm too short, they by my side.
I'm a pure vibe, killer with the flow. She killin' with the wine. Make back shot, drill up, pull the trigger from behind. Whoa, simmer, yeah, we got time. Don't have a beamer, but I'll take you on a ride. Where you wanna go, I'm your genie, I'll oblige. Cause you summertime, fine girl, I ain't gon' lie. So come get some of this act, right? And we can both ride this wave till we capsize. You know these haters gon' hate cause I'm that guy. Making million-dollar calls on the back line. The real, it's hot, we moved up another notch. But it's cup season, but we picking all the locks. So move to me, mommy, show me what you got. On the low, though, cause these niggas move like the
opps. I said, wait, too, if you want on my place. I just got you straight, through. Bring your body, but don't tell nobody, I swear. I said, Julia, if you know what I wanna do, yeah. Champagne glass for the two of us, yeah. We gonna wind me like every other day. Yeah, we come in love, oh. My girl, you turn me up, oh, yeah. Oh, I guess you never know. And I be beating them, baba. And I the ball like Ronaldo. And when you know you want it, near my side. See, calm down, jam my sexy, I rose. Roll up, you smoke up the whole day. Your way, man, I do it, your way, do it.
Yeah. Lagos Island, I'm just trying to put my city on. OG, cruise around town with some biggie on. Real loud, man, it's like I got my pit biddy on. Chasing billions, man, that's what my whole committee on. Whole team, soft, we all kings. It's crazy when you find yourself living your own dreams. Lights, camera, the whole scene. What should I visualize before I rolled in? Shop, so let's leave it at that.